Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome each one to this part of the service here. I believe that we have already heard God's word being taught here this morning, and trust that we can take those things and apply them to our lives, and trust that as we sit here this morning, as we stand here, that we can continue to listen and hear what God has for us. I'd like to just pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do just pause here this morning. We thank you for the blessings that we have here this morning. And if we take time and think about that, we have many. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would make us aware of those things and help us to rejoice in you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would, that you would just minister to the needs that we have. We recognize this morning, Lord, that we are a needy people and that we need you. We need to hear the preaching of your word. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us, to draw us to yourself, to teach us, Lord. And that's why we're here this morning. I do pray, Lord, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have placed on my heart. I pray for those that are not here this morning. If there's any listening in this morning, I just lift them up to you. And I just pray, Lord, that they would be inspired and encouraged in your word today. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning for a message, I'd like to turn to James chapter 1. And like to work my way through this first chapter. Was reading this chapter, and there's just a lot of encouraging things in this chapter and maybe challenging things as well. When we look at James writing this book here, we see in the first verse here that he's put this to the 12 tribes, and they were scattered abroad. So I believe that he was teaching or writing this for the Christians, and they were spread abroad, and there was things going on that James was concerned about, and he was pointing these things out, that he was looking, encouraging the people not to only look right, but to live a life that reminds us of Jesus. And that it's not only a profession, but it's a life, it's a changed life. And that's what he was encouraging, I believe, here as he started writing this book. In a couple of different notes here that I would like to just notate as we look here. In the first couple of verses, the needed attitude towards trial and temptation. The needed attitude towards trials and temptation. The way to conquer trials and temptations. And then the third one, the origin of trials and temptations. And last of all, the preparations necessary to withstand trials and temptation. I'm going to the first four verses of this chapter. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. So we look at these first four verses here, and the piece that I think stands out here in verse 2 is that there's supposed to be joy in our lives. And if we're facing hard things, if we're facing trials and temptations, He's saying to be joyful. So if we're dealing with that, it means that we must, when we're joyful, it means that we must have some kind of understanding that there's something going on that's going to be helpful. When we think about trials and temptations, it can be positive. We become more perfect. Rejoicing, Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. When we think of facing hard things and our heart is turned towards the Lord, this is what takes place, I believe. We seek the Lord, and it brings, when we turn towards the Lord, it brings peace. And so we go back to joy, and when we look at trials and temptations, and we only see it as a negative, we only see it as like, well, somebody is trying to destroy me, or that life is against me, and that life isn't fair. We know that that kind of position and that kind of processing life that way will not produce joy in our lives. But when we recognize that, when we recognize our position with Christ, and we recognize that these things are coming against us, and we realize that it's not people coming against me, but that it's the enemy of my soul that is trying to bring havoc and destruction in my life. And we recognize those battles, and we bring them to the Lord, and it can bring joy. We can realize that God is on my side, and we can have peace and joy in the midst of that. Going down to verse 5, the next section here, 5 through 12. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. In this passage, in verse 5 here, if we lack wisdom, if we're facing difficulties, and we don't know what to do, tells us here in verse 5 that if we're in that position, which if we understand who we are, and as we walk through life, we will realize that time and time again, that we come to a place that we don't have what it takes. And we see here that he's telling us that if we lack wisdom, he's not rebuking us for being in this position, but he's telling us to do something here. It says, let him ask of God. This morning, if we're in that place and we need understanding, we need wisdom, he tells us here to come and ask God. And the promise that he gives here is that, give us to all men liberally and upbraid us not, and it shall be given him. So if we come to the Lord and we seek him, he invites us to, he tells us to do that, to come to him and ask. In that he's going to not only give what we need, but he's going to give us more than what we need. And so if we're struggling with understanding joy in verse 2, and we come down to verse 5 and we understand what he's trying to tell us there, that if we understand that and that's a reality in our lives and we experience that, then we can experience joy. There is one thing that we must do. In verse 6 there, he instructs us that when we come to the Lord and we ask, when we bring these things to him, and we're struggling, and he says here in verse 6 that you must have faith. You must ask in faith, not wavering. And if we waver, we're like the waves of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We're going to get bounced around. So when we come to God asking, we must believe that God loves us, that he cares, and that he cares about the situation that I'm in, and that he's going to meet our every need. In Matthew 13, verse 58, he tells us there that he did not many mighty works there because of, what was it? Because of faith? It was because of unbelief. They didn't believe, and Jesus wasn't willing or able to do many works there. So he's making it clear that he wants a people that trust, that believe, that bring these things to him. In James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Another promise that we have is when we come to the Lord and we place ourselves before him, he promises us that he will also come to us. And so there's just a lot of encouragement there that we can find if we hear what God's word is saying. Where do trials and temptations come from? Going down to verse 13 through 18 in James 1. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This morning, as trials and temptations, it's very important for us to understand that as we're face, as we face life, that we understand where those things come from. There's been different times that I've had conversations with people and they were blaming God. And because of that, they weren't willing to serve God. And that is the way Satan wants to present himself. He wants to bring things into our lives, trip us up, and have us believe that it came from our fellow neighbor or that it was God himself. And it's important for us to understand that it is Satan that is trying to trip us up and to destroy our lives. Destroy the relationship that we have with God and with his people. And that temptation that it's something that when we're drawn away from the Lord, that it's something that rises up within us. And if we don't recognize that, that we're going to buy into it. As people, things that we tend to do with these things is blame someone else for the things that are, for the temptations that are leading us into sin. In Genesis chapter 3, we see a very good example of that in verse 12 and 13. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, we see them pointing fingers, and as long as we're like that and we're pointing fingers and blaming the situation, blaming something, somebody else, and not recognizing that it's our own doings, then when we're in that position, we find ourselves not willing or we're actually probably not even able to take responsibility of those things because we're believing something that is not true. And when we're in that position, that we probably won't find change in our lives. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. A promise that we have. God is faithful, and he wants to deliver us from those things if we come to him. Psalms 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Going back to James chapter 1 and going down to verse 19. Preparations necessary to withstand. Going down to verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Doesn't say here in the last part of this chapter that we can just pick one of these things. And it's like, well, I'll do some good deeds and that will count. Tells us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So in these verses here, four things that we see here. Be quick to hear the word of God. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. We're reminded that our tongue, that we need to, our tongue needs to be in control. In the last is practice pure religion, visit the needy, and keep yourself from being corrupted by the world. Going to verse 19 here, and we see in verse 19 here, he's encouraging us to hear. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. Listen well. And that verse caught my attention, and I often, I guess in my words, I often, when I looked at that verse, swift to hear, and the slow the wrath, and it's like, well, if I'm angry, that I can't really hear what's being said. But I think as I was pondering that verse, that there's an attitude that is needed if we're going to apply that listening. He's not only saying to listen, but he wants us to be sharp in that, that we listen well. And so there's a number of things that will keep us from doing that. And I just wrote down a few. If we're preoccupied by other things in life, maybe in our minds we're too busy, and so we don't listen well in the moment. Lack of interest will keep us from listening in on whatever is being communicated. If we're physically or emotionally tired, it's hard for us to sit in church and listen to what is being taught. If we ran ourselves ragged the whole week, and then we sit down and we try to listen to something, it's difficult for us to gather anything from that. Another one is when there's distractions around us that take us away from what we're, the purpose of whatever we're in. And I think some of those can be learned behaviors. We all have gadgets around us, electronics. And it's very easy to be more focused on something out there, something that's not related to here and now, and gets us away from what's personal. And so there's a distraction, and we don't listen well. I think a big one, and he talks about that in verse 19 here. but that is negative attitudes. Anger. Negative attitudes, if we don't work through that one, we will not be able to listen. We will not be able to hear what is being said. We can listen to something that is truthful and know that it's true, but when my attitude is wrong, somehow there's something in us that we're able to just dismiss it and we can't hear it. And so how do we deal with that? We come to the senses and realize that I have a negative attitude. I believe in the beginning of the chapter, he tells us to come to the Lord and we bring those things before him, and he's going to give us what we need to work through that. And I think another one that is that it takes practice and lack of discipline in when we are in conversations. We fail to hear. It's easy for me to read through a chapter in the Bible and I come through and it's like, I just read God's word. It's like, let me see, what was the takeaway from that? Lack of hearing. So it's good to recognize that in our lives and to allow God to discipline us in those things. And be allow the Lord to teach us to be swift to hear. We hear what God is saying, and then right with that is slow to speak. When things are being said, can I take them in? Sometimes when I'm processing something that's being said and it's hitting an area in my life that makes me uncomfortable, one way to get away from that is start speaking. And you can sort of steer away from that uncomfortableness. I think he's telling us here that to listen is, it also means that we're slow to speak and to ponder those things and take them in and allow the Holy Spirit to do its work in our lives. And obviously, if we allow wrath to have its way, if we get angry, if we find ourselves getting angry, we know that that is going to kill the listening and the ability to be careful in speaking. We must receive the word of God with meekness. Colossians 3 verse 12 tells, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Those are the attitudes that we must have if we want to listen, if we want to take things in, if we want to learn. Matthew 12 verse 50 tells us, be a doer of the word. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3, just like to look at that verse. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. And then Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to understand what God thinks about it and live Romans 12:2 out. We have to learn to listen to God. What is he telling me? And choose to live what the Lord would have us to do. Not just to look good, but to actually walk in the Spirit and live the way that he would have us to live. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. So we see here that living right, living well, it's not just a list of things to do, but it's a pure heart, it's love, it's... And I think that we were reminded of that earlier this morning, that we have to make sure that we're not just checking the boxes, and that we're all very familiar with bitterness and those sins that so easily get us in verse 5 here. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. That is the Lord working in my life and changing my heart. And it's not me putting on wisdom and my own understanding. And then in closing here, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 here, just a promise that we have. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If we invite God to deal with us, to change our hearts, and as we come up against life, and as we deal with the trials and temptations that come our way, let me tell you this morning that we're all in the same boat. We all deal with things. We all face hard things. At some point in time, we're going to come to face to face with things, and God is going to show us. And He wants to walk through those things with us. And if we come to the Lord, we can experience James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And if we allow verse 5 and realize that we lack wisdom, and we come to the Lord and we ask him and allow him to walk beside us through life, we can experience life, and we can come to Matthew 5 verse 8 and know that that is a promise for me, that God is giving that to me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I pray and trust that That is our experience, and that is what God wants to be to us. May the Lord bless.